Guten Tag, Shavuot Tov. This is Reuven Wolf from Mayon Yisrael Hasidic Center in Los Angeles, California. I'd like to thank you for joining again in this Tanya class. If you like this shiur and you'd like this to continue weekly, we really need the help of the audience and the listenership. So please go to our website at mayon.com. That's M-A-A-Y-O-N.com. And send us an email or make a contribution and specify that you would like to be a sponsor for the Tanya class, for the weekly Tanya class, whether a complete sponsorship or a partial sponsorship. This would be a very great mitzvah, and it will enable this class to continue weekly on every Motzei Shabbos. So I thank you in advance. As we've done in the last couple of weeks, we're learning a piece of Tanya that relates to the weekly Parsha. This week's Parsha was Parshas B'Shalach. The highlight of the parasha was the splitting of the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf. So we're going to learn something in Tanya that relates to the splitting of the sea. The second chelik of Tanya is called Shar HaYichud VeEmunah, the portal of unity and faith. This is in the second perek, in perek Beis. Over here, he's coming to explain a fundamental teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Hasidic master, the holy Baal Shem Tov, has one of his primary teachings was that God didn't create the world a long time ago and then the world is just in a state of existence, but that God continuously creates the universe and everything that's in it to all the tiniest minute detail on a continuous perpetual state. It's happening every second. Creation is not a one-time event, but creation is a all the time happening. Right at this very moment, the world, if not for God's creative life force flowing into the universe and trickling down to me, to you, right now, to give existence to our bodies, to our soul, to our radio, to our car, to our table, to everything we see and everything we hear, then these things would not exist, because God has to continuously create the world every moment in its existence. The Baal Shem Tov derives it from a pasuk, La'olam Hashem devorcha nitzav v'ashamayim. It says, forever, O God, your words are standing in the heavens. So what does it mean God's words are standing in the heavens? So the Baal Shem Tov says, the words from the 10 utterances. When God created the world, he created it with 10 utterances. Which the second one was, Hashem said, let there be a firmament through which God, with those words, he created the heaven. So those very words, Yahi Rakia, is those letters having clothed themselves in the heaven. And being that they are the words of God, they never cease to speak. They never cease. Our words dissipate after we speak them. But Hashem's words, Devar Elokeinu Yakom La'olam, his words stand forever. So God's words are forever creating and recreating the heaven. And the Baal Shem Tov says it's not only the heaven, but it's everything. It's earth, the plants, the trees, the animals, the insects, and even stones, and even a tiny little pebble on the beach is only existing at this very moment because God is speaking it into existence as we are standing, as we speak right now. Hashem is speaking all of us and everything into existence every second. Obviously, the appreciation and the understanding of that brings us into a very deep connection to God, understanding that without God, we literally don't exist right now. It's not that he created us once a long time ago and okay, and we're a consequence and we owe some gratitude to God because a consequence of He creating the world way back then, we exist. But no, at this very moment, Hashem is making everything be. In this Perek, Perek Beis, He continues to elaborate and explain that logically as well, why that is that creation has to be ongoing. And he explains like this. Let's read inside. Meaning, Mikan from Yechuv Esaminim is going to be the response and the answer to the heretics. What kind of heretics are we talking about? These are not heretics, people who don't believe in God at all, but people who do believe in Hashem, and they believe in creation, that God created the world. But their non-belief is in that what? That they don't believe that God is involved presently with creation. And therefore they deny a specific divine providence, that every single thing that happens in my life, every dollar that I make, every person that I meet, every encounter that I have, every occurrence that happens in the world is because God wants that to happen right now and He's overseeing it and making it happen. That's what they deny. And obviously they also deny miracles. Because what's miracles? Miracle is a time when God is interfering with the natural order. Their belief is that God created nature, but once He set nature into motion, it's It runs its own course, and it's never manipulated. It's never changed. So he says, "Vigiloi." So those mean and those non-believers, "Vigiloi," and we will expose now Shairish to Usam the root of their error, the root of their mistake. Which Hakoifrim? These are which people? Which non-believers are we talking about? Hakoifrim, those who deny Bashkacha Pratis, specific divine providence, and the signs, and the miracles of Torah. For instance, they say that the Exodus, the splitting of the sea, the changing, the heating of the Nile, turning it into blood, all these miracles never happened. Why? Because they believe that truth. It's not that they not deny God, but they believe that God created a world. He affixed nature, and nature is nature, and it's unbreakable, and it's uninterferable. Their mistake is b'dimyonam ha'koziv. Their mistake is in their false analogy. They compare the work of God who created heaven and earth to the work of a human being and his scheming. They compare it to a human being's activity. When a human being creates something, when a carpenter makes a table, when a smith takes a piece of silver and he turns it into a beautiful cup or a nice candelabra menorah, what happens is after he makes it, it's done. And the smith doesn't have to be there presently overseeing the candelabra for it to continue to be a candelabra. The smith can go off and go away, and yet the cup or the menorah that he made remains being a menorah. Kikasha yotzal etzayrev keli, because when the utensil leaves the hands of the smith, shuv eina keli tzarech l'deyatzayrev. So the vessel doesn't need any more the hands of the smith. Even if his hands have left it, and not only did he leave it, did he remove his hands off it, but he completely left the room. And the smith is walking in the market. Yet the silver cup that he made remains a silver cup. The cup stands in exactly its image and its form. As it was when it left the hands of the smith. Kach, so too, medam him aschalim ha'elu, these fools compare ma'isei shamayim va'aretz, the work of heaven and earth. They say the same thing. God created, leaves it alone, now it is. Ach toch merei oisei neyem, their eyes are covered from to see. There's something blocking, an obvious distinction, an obvious difference that there is between the way God creates the universe and the way we create things in this world. Ha'hevdel ha'gadol, the great difference, between the work of man and his scheming, the human being is taking something from, it is making something from something. We're taking pre-existent matter and we're changing it only into another form, but we're not making a fundamental essential change in the very substance of the thing. What the person is changing is only its form and its appearance. Mitmunas chatichas kesef, from the appearance of a block of silver, litmunas keli, and we're turning it into the image of a vessel. So you're just taking one, an object that exists already, and you're just changing its form. So then, being that you're only making an external change in it, there's nothing really that you're fundamentally contributing to this thing. So therefore, even after you go away, it can still continue, especially since, let's think, a piece of silver has within it the potential to be in every form. God created the silver. He created silver that it is pliable, and you can turn it into, pull it this way and that way, and create various different forms. It's not everything. Let's say a stone. You can also change the form of it, but you have to crush it. But it doesn't have, you can't pull it and melt it and turn it into another shape. But silver you can. So therefore, the silver has already in potential, we can see, it has the ability for it to be stretched in a form, for it to be a menorah, for it to be a candelabra. It's only that what? There was a potential. What did the person do? He realizes and activates that potential and he shapes it into that shape. Therefore, since you're not really giving anything new to this situation, you make your change, you leave, and it continues to exist. But that is so different when it comes to God creating the universe, l'maisa shemayim va'aretz, to the creation of heaven and earth. Shuyesh me'ayin, this is a creation of ex nihilo. Something from absolute nothing is being created. So here, God is really making a fundamental change. You have nothingness. And the nothing doesn't have the beginning of the something. It's nothing. And without any anything at all, Hashem brings beingness, brings existence, brings something into existence. What is God giving it? He's giving it its very beingness, its very existence. Therefore, if God would pull himself out of it, it would go back to its natural state as it was without God getting involved. And how is it without God getting involved? It's non-existence. A good example for this would be, even in our life, that we can see that when we are making a radical change in something, that force that makes the change has to continuously affect the change. We see it, for instance, if you have a stone. A stone sits on the ground and it doesn't move. Now, you could make it move. You can kick the stone or you can throw the stone. If you throw the stone is now flying. But we understand that the stone has not become a flying stone. It's the stone remains what it is. In essence, it's an immobile object, sits on the ground. It's only that the person propelling the stone with the force of their throw in which they're throwing it, and that force that they emitted as they threw the stone is carrying the stone. How long will the stone fly? As long as that force, depending on how strong you are, the stronger the person is, it's the longer that power lasts, it will carry the stone. As soon as the power wears off, the stone goes back to its natural state. Now, if that is the case, by a stone flying, where the human being is only contributing the flight to the stone. He's not contributing the stone itself. The stone exists without you. It's only the flight. And yet, that contribution that you're making is required for it to be continuous. So the same is also when God, his contribution is, what did God give to the world? What did God give to any object or any entity? Let's see what it had without God. Before God came along, it literally wasn't. There was nothing here. And God gives it its entire beingness, 100% from absolute nothing. Therefore, God's contribution has to be there all the time. Hashem's involvement. And that is the idea that we, all of us, are continuously, right at this very moment as we speak, being created. These radio waves that we're hearing right now are being created right now, every second, by Hashem, continuously at this moment. Who, and he says, and to prove this even further, he says, I'll demonstrate this from a miracle that is described in this week in the Torah, which we mentioned earlier, the miracle of the splitting of the sea. This is even a greater miracle, from the splitting of this Red Sea, al derech mashal, using it as an analogy, as an example. What happened by the splitting of the sea? God led the sea, Beruach Kadamaza, with a powerful eastern wind. That's how the Torah describes in this week's Torah portion how the sea split, the Red Sea split before the Jewish people when they were escaping Egypt. It says that Hashem, that God led the sea, Beruach Kadamaza, with a powerful eastern wind. Clearly, the Torah says that it was God's power, but God was enclosing his power in a wind, and that wind was pushing the sea and separating the sea into two walls. Okay, now it says that wind blew all night, because that's how long the miracle needed to be for the sea to be split. It was an all night long miracle. Now, why did Hashem have to blow the wind all night long? He should have blew the wind, split the sea, and then the wind could have stopped. But it's not that way. He didn't do that. He kept on blowing the water and splitting it all night long. And the reason for that is because since there is a radical change that is happening now, you're changing something essentially, because waters usually are fluid and they flow downward. For the water to stand upright and not to budge, it was completely doing something so different, and so it's a real novelty to the water. That power has to continuously affect that change. And the water split. And as a result of that continuous wind, it stood like a wall. Now, what would have happened if God would have even momentarily stopped the wind? What would have happened? Then the waters would have reverted and they would have flown downward like it is their way and it is their natural, their nature. And undoubtedly, they would not have stood like a wall. You can see it from the verse that the wind was blowing it, and without it, it would continue to flow downward as regular water. So just like by Kriyas Yamsuf, since there was a radical change in water, that water became firm and sort of solidified, and instead of the fluid, the nature fluidness of the water, it was required that this should happen every second. So how much more so when God creates heaven and earth from absolute nothing? It requires that Hashem should continuously affect this change all the time. Now he adds, in order to drive this point home and to further illustrate and to make it even stronger, he says, really by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the splitting of the sea, there is, we would think on the one hand that God is creating something totally new. He's creating water, standing water, instead of fluid water. But in truth, he says, standing water is not an absolute novelty. Why is it not an absolute novelty? Because the existence of matter, that matter should be firm and solid and strong and not flow, is something that already exists in the world. What do we mean it exists in the world? Stones, a wall, a regular wall stands, right? Without a wind blowing it. Walls stand without a wind blowing. It's only that for water to stand, it would require a wind blowing it. So since the existence of firm matter, of something standing in a solid manner, already existed in the world, God wasn't really creating something completely innovative. He was only taking an existence that existed already and applying it to water. So then really, he's not really making a true yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. He's only changing the type of yesh. There's two types of yesh. There are two types of matter, two types of physical existence. There are those that are fluid, and there are those that are firm. And over here, God was exchanging. He applied to the water the firmness of the stone. So he's only exchanging one yesh, one form of existence, to the water. Yet, since it's a radical change, because water doesn't have it, it needed to be continuously affected on the water. How much more so by the creation of heaven and earth, where over there, the novelty is totally novel. There was nothing there before which is the nature of the world, the existence of the world. It wasn't there. And from nothingness, this is true innovation, the innovating power, and the power to make it happen has to happen continuously. And that's what he explains now. Even though this nature in water, is also something that has already been created. Yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. When God created the world, he already created this solid, the form that something can exist in a solid state. And the proof to that is that this wasn't something new, really new, that Hashem was creating now. Because a wall of stones, nitzedes ma'atzma, stands on its own, beliruach, without a wind. The nature of water isn't so. And God was now applying this nature that there is to a stone, he was applying it to the water. And yet, it's a chiddush enough, it's enough of a novelty to require Hashem's continuous involvement in it. The kolshkin, the kavuchoymer, and how much more so bebriyas yesh me'ayin, when God is creating something from nothing, shehi lamay lama teva, which is beyond nature, v'hafla pele yoysim ekriyas yamsu, and is far more miraculous from the splitting of the sea. Al achas kama v'kama, how much more so, shebehistalkus koyach ha'boyrei, that with the departure of the power of the Creator, min ha-nivra chas v'shalom, from the creation, God forbid, if the input that God is putting into the creation would depart from the creation, God forbid, then the creation, what would happen? Yashiv ha-nivra la'ayim ve'efes mamish. The creation would go back to nothingness and to complete non-beingness, literally. Eletzadach liyiz koyach ha-poyol b'nifal tamid lach yoyzeh. The power of the activating power of God has to be within the creation continuously to animate it, and to sustain it. We are continuously being created all the time by Hashem, and only through that we exist. Which gives us a very, very deep connection, how Hashem is now, at this moment, creating us. And also it's very empowering to know that we're not stuck in our yesterday's existence. Because right now I'm a new person. Right now I'm created from absolute nothing. V'hein hein was just a side note. And now he continues and he says, V'hein hein b'chinas oisiyas adibur. Now what is this activating power that is within the universe to create it? Those are the letters of speech, ma'asar b'amaris, from the 10 utterances, shebehem nivru, which through them Hashem created the world. The 10 utterances that God created the entire world, these letters are the power within the universe. V'alzeh nemar, and this is what it says, v'ato mechaya es kulam, and you enliven all of creation. So the Shulah HaKadosh says that you're supposed to read it not Machaya, you enliven. Al Tikra Machaya, don't read it Machaya, you enliven. Ela Mahaveh, you bring into beingness all of creation. Tahainu Yesh Me'ayin, which means something from nothing. And it's all, and the words Va'ata, and you create everything, it's actually not only saying, demonstrating that God is involved, but also how he's involved. The word Va'ata, and you, is also related. You break up the word Aleph Tav represents all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet through which God creates the universe. And the He is representing the five organs of speech through which where these letters emanate. Va'ata hein b'chinasa oisiyas. These are the letters, me Aleph Atav, from Aleph Tol Tav. Va'he, and the He, who hein mitzoyis apeh, the five organs of articulate speech, makara oisiyas, which is the source of the letters. If, again, Shavua Tov to all, to continue the shir on a weekly basis, please go to our website, mayon.com, and make a contribution specifying that you want to be a sponsor of the Tanya Radio class. A good avach, and please join us again next week.